Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. As we get ready to turn out 2020 and turn into 2021, what's the shape of documentary television? Award-winning doc producer Tom Jennings joins me next. After nearly 2 years in existence, TV1's sister channel, Cleo TV, is making Sunday Night Dramatic with Tough Love LA. That's LA for Los Angeles. Creators Caleb and Ronnie Davis will come your way from LA next half hour. Also ahead, more Discovery Plus originals and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone, and Merry Christmas Week 2020 to you and all. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. 46 bright degrees here in the New York metro area. The snow is melting fast. And believe it or not, it looks like it's going to be a rainy Christmas. Not a white, a rainy Christmas with Christmas Eve temperatures in the upper 50s and maybe hitting 60 on Christmas Day. Delighted to have you with us for our first of three back-to-back-to-back episodes of the program, all about TV's current and future. Happy to have you with us. Great guests every day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. We hope you're celebrating Christmas or did celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa coming up. Whatever holiday you're celebrating, it's going to be a great one, no matter what, pandemic aside too. And we've got, as I said, some good guests coming your way in the hour ahead. So get on the phones. We want to hear you. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. No chat room today. Apparently, Blog Talk Radio has some chat room technical issues. We're sorry about that. So the only way you can reach us today is through your phone. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker through the screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Emmy and Peabody Award-winning documentary producer Tom Jennings joins us live from Asheville, North Carolina, after these news notes. 2 weeks before launch, Discovery Plus added to its originals lineup earlier today. Friends co-star David Schwimmer will narrate Mysterious Planet, a five-episode miniseries depicting Earth's unusual evolutionary circumstances, and Judi Dench's wild Borneo adventure featuring the paparazzi's trip to the famous rainforest. More than 50 original series and specials will highlight Discovery Plus's opening week starting January 4th. Now a couple quickies. Robin Rodriguez will co-executive produce Disney spin-off series The Book of Boba Fett. We told you about that on Friday's episode. That was the Star Wars spin-off of The Mandalorian that nobody knew about until after the very end of The Mandalorian's final episode of this season two. By the way, Robert will join other fellow executive producers from The Mandalorian, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. And Facebook Watch will run a year-end Peace Out 2020 special next Tuesday. Kiki Palmer will co-host. And that is news notes for today. Our first guest has been on this program before. He's an Emmy and Peabody Award-winning producer of documentaries for all sorts of different networks. Some of you may know one of his most popular works, Diana in Her Own Words, which is now playing this month on Disney+. Pleasure to have back on the program from Asheville, North Carolina, Tom Jennings. Tom, welcome in. Happy Christmas week to you.
Same to you, Simon. Thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Same here. As I mentioned the tease, as we are getting ready to complete 2020, what's it been like for you and your fellow documentarians to deal with this coronavirus pandemic and get work out?
Well, it's been a bit of the Wild West, as you can imagine. Fortunately for us, my company is based in Los Angeles. I'm over here in North Carolina visiting family. Have been for a while, but when the coronavirus started, we decided that we would make sure that everyone could work out of their homes just in case, even though California at the start seemed to be relatively immune compared to what was going on in New York, for example. But, you know, we hedged our bets, and I'm glad we did because we were able to basically set up everyone on our 20-person staff to work out of their homes and use the internet to move media around. And it served us very well to deliver projects, many projects this year. We were very busy, and fortunately, we're continuing to be busy. So we've been okay, but it's been a challenge all the way around. Some of the documentaries we do, as you know, are only archive-based, where we use only archive to tell a story, and those are easier because we don't have to shoot anything. But we've had to go out and shoot interviews in the field, and that's been very tricky. We've done all of the interviews via Zoom, but we've had a camera operator set up the shot and basically leave the room in order for us to get a high-quality image. But it is a challenge, and I have to say every day is a challenge trying to figure out how to navigate these waters.
In some states like California and here in New York and elsewhere, we have had these crazy lockdowns that have been on and off. Certain places, they open, certain places then close. It seems that a lot of government leaders, personal thought, don't know what they're doing. They're not following the science. They're even going beyond data that shows them, hey, this particular arena like restaurants or gyms or dance studios are not where the coronavirus is spreading, and yet they say anyway, okay, this is closed. Or you can have outdoor but not indoor, or indoor not outdoor, both closed and so forth. Does that drive you and other people in your field crazy, that you don't have a sense of stability in terms of what you can and can't do?
Absolutely. It drives us crazy, not only for the work we're doing in California, but, you know, we shoot nationwide when we're making these documentaries, as you know. You know, the experts, witnesses, people that we need to talk with, they may be in a state that has very few lockdown restrictions, if any. And in California, we were faced with, well, everybody needs to lock it down, which we did. And, you know, we worked from home, and then the restrictions seemed to be lifting, you know, a few months ago. And now it's very, very bad in California again. And, you know, the issue is not so much, well, it's whether or not you'll catch it. But if you read the news stories, especially out of Los Angeles County, it's there are no more intensive care unit beds for people. And that's the problem, is that if you do get sick and you get really sick, there's nowhere for you to go. And so it is confusing. My staff and I, we meet all the time on Zoom, and we try and figure out, you know, how do we handle the next set of shows that we're working on? How do we handle, who are we going to be able to film where? And sadly, Simon, I don't think this is going to be ending anytime soon. We're planning on something big for the summer, and which would require about 6 weeks of on-the-road shooting. And, you know, we've kind of laid everything down to make that happen, but we're already building plans B, C, and D behind it, because there's no guarantee we'll be able to function normally by then.
Tom Jennings is back with us this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He's Emmy and Peabody Award-winning producer of documentaries for all sorts of services, big and small. One of the shows he's done that a lot of people know about is Diana, In Her Own Words. It's the special that was carried on other networks in previous years. This year and this month, you can see it on Disney+. And Tom joins us live from Asheville, North Carolina, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York, first of three consecutive programs that we'll be having Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this Christmas week 2020 at this very hour. We did this in Thanksgiving week, and it worked very, very well. So we're happy to do it again as our Christmas treat to you. If you have a question or comment for Tom, make the call, 646-652-2906. No chat room today. Again, we apologize for the glitch on Blog Talk Radio's end. Hopefully it'll be fixed in time for our episode tomorrow. We have a 90-minute episode for you tomorrow, our second of three. First up, brand-new network just started called Health for All. It deals with health matters, especially concerning communities of color, and delivered by doctors of color. We'll speak with Boston Media Chief Executive Officer Calvin Boston. He will be our lead guest. Then we'll talk to another unscripted person we've had on before. His name is Brian Buchweiss. He runs his own company called Nacelle. He also operates Comedy Dynamics, which has done a lot of stand-up comedy specials available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. His current project, A Toy Store Near You, now in its second season on Amazon. He's got some great projects in store for 2021. We'll talk about what he sees in the unscripted world. And finally, don't miss the last half hour at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, because we're going to showcase a brand-new venture called Wirewax. It's an interactive TV venture that a week and a half ago launched a set of very unique interactive apps on Google Chromecast and Android TV-powered sets. If you have those products, you should pay attention to what we're going to showcase, because they could be groundbreaking apps for television. And if you don't have those smart TV sets and devices, those apps could be coming to you very soon in 2021. We'll have a key executive from WireWax on the program. It's all coming up tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, why has Diana, in her own words, been such a special project for you?
Well, it was special from the start, I have to tell you. The Diana, in her own words, was a film commissioned by National Geographic Channel in 2016. We were getting ready as dozens and dozens of other producers and production companies were to make documentaries about the 20th anniversary of Diana's death. And as you know, we've kind of perfected this style of telling stories with only archive, no narration, no interviews, in order to kind of build a time machine to transport viewers back to these moments. And the channel asked me to do the same thing. And we were left scratching our heads because we knew there was going to be so much competition. But I knew, I come from a journalism background, and I had remembered the famous book written by the British author Andrew Morton, who in 1992 published a book called Diana, True Story. And after Diana passed, he revealed that Diana herself had been the source for that book. He had kept her involvement quiet up until that point, and that he had audio tapes of Diana telling these stories. So I called him up in London, and he basically told me, get in line with about the 500 other producers who approached me over the years. And I said, Andrew, wait, this is different. There's no narrator. There are no expert interviews. No one looking back on what Diana was like. We would use the tapes as Diana, the narrator, and it would be her telling her story. And Simon, there was this long pause on this phone call, and I thought maybe there was a problem with the international transmission. And he said, no one has ever asked me to do it like that. And then he added, how quickly can you come to London? And I flew to London the following week for one day. I landed at dawn at Heathrow, and I went to Andrew's publisher's office. And for the next 7 hours, we sat there drinking tea while the rain was pouring outside, listening to Diana like she was sitting in the room with us, telling her story to us. And we eventually made a handshake deal. I flew back to Los Angeles that evening, and we wound up putting together this really remarkable film that came out in 2017. And people loved it very much, but it got caught up in, you know, there were probably 30 Diana films that year, and it was just one of many. And so eventually it wound up, and I'm not sure the machinations, how networks do these things, but National Geographic wound up placing it on Netflix. And it had been on Netflix, I think, for more than a year. From this point back. And then The Crown season 4 came out, and all of a sudden our documentary was being married on their algorithms. If you like The Crown, watch this. And there was a day or two when we were in the top 10, if you can imagine, in the Netflix preferred watching nationwide. For a documentary film that was 3 years old, and it's now gone over to Disney Plus because National Geographic is part of the Disney family, and it's doing very, very well there right now. So it's kind of taken on a life of its own. Of course, to add one thing to add to it, it certainly helped that the actress Emma Corrin from The Crown, who plays Princess Diana, gave an interview very early on when that season started and said that she had watched our documentary something like a dozen times in order to get the tone and intonation of how Diana spoke. And it took off from there, and I'm as amazed as anyone, but we're very, very proud of that film, and I'm extremely grateful that the world has found it after all of this time.
Speaking of finding documentary work, with so many ventures now out in the marketplace, especially the first generation of mega content services like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, now you have Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, Peacock, HBO Max, Discovery Plus gets underway January 4th, CBS All Access becomes Paramount Plus. What's your sense of the marketplace now for original documentary work? It seems that do you find that some of these places are more open than others? For example, Apple TV Plus seems to have a big thing for documentary series like Visible Out on Television. Just more recently, Earth at Night in Color. We had the producer of that on a couple weeks ago. Disney Plus seems to have a nice appetite for shows that are unscripted. They just started a new documentary about ballet called On Point, about young ballet dancers. What's your sense about the documentary marketplace, especially with all these newcomers that have arrived the last year or two?
Well, it's really all over the map. And you know, it's my job as a documentary producer, producer of films for television and streaming, to try and keep up with what they want. And it's a confusing time, not just for me, but for a lot of network executives, the streamers, everyone. You know, don't forget, in the past, the various networks would build on their brand. Discovery, National Geographic, Smithsonian Channel, they would all approach their programming in a way that appealed to their brand, that would appeal to their audience, where a large portion of their audience would want to tune in to these shows. And the streamers have come along and kind of turned that on its head. Because if you're turning to a network, say, for science and technology, Netflix is not going to be the place that you would go to solely because it's about science and technology. A lot of the streamers want to appeal to a large swath of the audience and offer something for everyone. And because of that, it's like, well, what exactly is something for everyone? And I think for us, it comes back to story sense. And just really nailing down, you know, good stories to approach both networks and streamers. I'm constantly hearing both from streamers and the cable networks that they need stories that will cut through the noise. I've heard it across the board. Cut through the noise, meaning there's just so much content out there that they need something that will stand head and shoulders above the rest. And, you know, they have various ways of doing that, anniversaries of events, for example, like we did with Diana. But then look what happened with Diana when we were connected to The Crown. We also have something very successful right now on Disney Plus, which is space. Space is always very popular. And we were paired, again, this was on much more on purpose. We did something called The Real Right Stuff about the Mercury astronauts, using only archive to tell the story. And National Geographic made for Disney Plus, as a Disney Plus original, The Right Stuff 8-part series based on the book by Tom Wolfe. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing they're looking for as well, to build momentum. How can we build momentum? Because there's just so much that we, the viewer, I'm a viewer like anyone else, we just have so much from which to choose that, you know, they want to make sure that they're first in line when we're pressing that remote control. So, you know, all you can really do as a documentary producer right now is trust your instincts to find a really great story, one that is unfamiliar to people. In my end of the swimming pool, one where we can offer images or sounds that, if are not unheard or unseen, at least extremely rare and haven't been seen or heard in many, many years. I don't know where it's going to lead, to be honest with you. I think there's going to be a lot of calling away of people pitching stories, and where we head from here, nobody knows. It's kind of like the coronavirus. We hope that things settle down soon, but we're still waiting for word that it will settle down.
Diane, in her own words, you can find on Disney Plus, along with The Right Stuff and the companion documentary made by Tom Jennings, our guest this half hour, The Real Right Stuff. He joins us live from Asheville, North Carolina this half hour. And if you have a question or comment in the remaining minutes with Tom, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming your way on Wednesday, the third of our three episodes this week, we'll introduce you to a network called SOMM, S-O-M-M-TV. It's all about matters of wine, food, and travel. And they've just come out with a brand new series called Crush. It's their first series that was entirely produced by women. We'll speak with the pair of Jason and Christina Ware. Jason is the president of SOMM TV. Christina is the chief creative officer. We'll also meet the co-founder and the producer director of the special Diane Carpenter. That's all coming up on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And stay tuned in our next half hour, because in addition to our guests, we've got the classic Dan By. You can win a trio of prizes right for Christmas week 2020 if you're first with the correct answer. Tom, so let's talk about what you've got cooking for 2021. Let's start with what you referred to earlier in the show, which is this project that you're going to be traveling around the country for.
Oh, well, it's something about – hasn't been announced yet, so I can't really go into great detail about it, but it's a – It's about free speech. It's certainly something that everyone is interested in these days. But I have something more pressing as far as dates are concerned that I know, since you're going to be profiling Discovery Plus, we have a couple of premieres coming on Discovery Plus. One thing I should add about what documentary producers can be doing is diversifying their ideas. We often do very classic kind of history stories where we can dig out great archive, things like the Challenger disaster, Martin Luther King assassination, things like that. And one of the things that we did to diversify a bit was we started working with the Travel Channel, which does a lot of paranormal programming, as you may know, and we wound up developing a series of documentaries for them. The first one aired on the Travel Channel about the paranormal investigators, the very famous investigators, Ed and Lorraine Warren, from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and it turned out that our format, we did do interviews for that. We also did three other programs for them. One was on the history of Halloween, but two others are coming out as Discovery Plus originals, I'm happy to say, the Travel Channel being a Discovery network. Our programming is now going to be released on Discovery Plus. We are going to be part of the January 4th launch for them, and that one is about the Amityville Horror. Now, a lot of docs have been done about Amityville, the horror house in Amityville, New York. But, you know, we applied our skills to this particular style of storytelling, and we were able to come up with interviews with the Lutz family who lived there that people had not heard before, all kinds of background information that just gives the story really broad shoulders in a way that I think has not been done before. And then the second one, which is not coming out January 4th, but I believe sometime in February on Discovery Plus, is the true story of the Exorcist, which everyone knows from the book and the movie. But the book and the movie is actually based on a story from 1949 about a boy, not a girl, and it happened in Maryland and St. Louis, Missouri. Again, we found information, background about how the original story played out and how the author of the book wound up hearing about that story while he was a student at Georgetown University and wound up transferring it to Washington, D.C. and making the person who was possessed a girl and not a boy. So diversification is key. We have these things coming out, which is very exciting. And we're also doing our traditional kind of storytelling with some new material that's coming out probably later in the year. And of course, next, not 2021, but 2022, believe it or not already, is the 25th anniversary of Princess Diana's passing. And we are getting calls to try and figure out yet another way to tell the Diana story, which we will, Simon. I promise you that.
Well, more to come soon on that front. And it'll be interesting to see how Discovery Plus does. They are certainly zagging where other mega content sort of zigging, unscripted versus scripted. And they certainly have a lot of original programming off the bat when they premiere on January 4th. I think it's going to be something really special. We'll see how it unfolds when that happens. Anyway, if you want to catch Tom's work, you can do so right now on Disney Plus with the acclaimed documentary Diana in Her Own Words. That's on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets, smart devices all over the place. And for more details about the service and the special online, here's where you go, www.disneyplus.com. That's www.disneyplus.com. And again, Discovery Plus begins on January 4th with more than 50 original series and specials, including some from Tom Jennings and his production crew. Tom, thank you again for joining us. A pleasure. You and everybody involved with your organization have a marvelous holiday season, a great start to 2021, and whatever you're up to causing this coming year, you do. And we'd love to have you back about the free speech project. It sounds tremendous.
Sure. Absolutely, Simon. Thank you, and all the same to you and your crew there. And let's all cross our fingers for a happy and healthy, wonderful 2021.
Absolutely, Tom, with a pandemic licked and shot to kingdom come. Take care.
You too.
Tom Jennings, Emmy and Peabody Award-winning documentary producer, joining us live from Asheville, North Carolina. Again, Diana in Her Own Words, now playing on Disney+. More tomorrow be televised coming away, but first some words to find folks at audible.com. Are you looking for a very unusual police drama that you can hear, if not read? Well, we got an audiobook for you that you can get right now as part of your one-month trial to audible.com. It's called Rage by Jonathan Kellerman, and it is a doozy of a police tale, unlike anything you might find in the Los Angeles Police Department. And again, it's yours if you get a trial run, and it's your choice with audible.com. Remember, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and certainly inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeart Podcast Network, Amazon Music, etc. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televise, you get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of the service, health and wellness material, so timely these days, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And get this, if you're an Amazon Prime customer already, make that two audiobooks you get with your trial, and one of them could be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater, great one woman and one man performances. And incidentally, you can skip the trial if you like and become a member of Audible Plus. If you do, $4.95 a month for your first 6 months, a steal of a deal that lasts a lifetime. So don't forget, it's not too late. Being Christmas week, Kwanzaa week 2020, where for you or someone you love, a great one-month trial of audible.com can be the ticket to hearing something different the way you hear the world. Once again, for that one-month trial and audiobook choice, it's audibletrial.com/televised. This is Swami Televised. First of three episodes we're doing this week, back-to-back-to-back, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, our special Christmas gift to you. And when we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, but first, a web series becomes a primetime attraction Sunday night now on Cleo TV, the TV One spinoff. It's called Tough Love LA, and from LA, we'll speak with its creators, Caleb and Ronnie Davis. They're standing by, and we'll join them after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected with the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together, reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, this Sunday, the January Jones Best of 2020 episode comes your way on BTR. That's January Jones' Best of 2020 episode this Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget Best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised this Monday, December 21st, 2020. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. Again, 46 degrees at the top of the hour, and we're expecting a lot of snow that we had last week to melt over the next couple of days. Looks like we're going to have a rainy Christmas, not a white one, a rainy one, on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day. Latest forecast, 77% chance of rain on Christmas Eve, high temperature near 60, maybe by Christmas Day, 60 degrees or above here in the New York metro area. Got some great guests coming away this half hour ahead, if you just joined us, and all you got to do to connect with them is make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name. And coming up before the top of the hour, our classic trivia question of the week. If you're looking for a great Christmas gift, you may get it if you are the first correct person answering our question. So stay tuned for that. Get your thinking caps on. You just might win a trio of prizes. Believe it or not, it's been nearly 2 years since Cleo TV launched as a spinoff channel of TV One. In fact, we covered it in January of 2019 with a guest who was involved with the network at the time. Well, at that time, when they were presenting scripted shows, they were actually doing online shows, not shows of their own, and they were running them during the day. Now, one of their popular attractions has graduated into a primetime attraction. It's on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. It's called Tough Love LA. And joining us live from LA are its creators and an integrated exclusive, Caleb and Ronnie Davis. Caleb and Ronnie, happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
Owen, happy holidays.
Thank you both. A pleasure to have you both on. First of all, Ronnie, what's been the reaction for both of you to Tough Love LA going primetime on Cleo TV?
Oh, man, it's just excitement all around, excitement from our, of course, our close friends, family, and also the actors in the show, all of the talent, lead and supporting, because when we were creating this, we had no idea it would be on prime time. We knew it was for Cleo. We had no idea it would be on prime time, as well as simulcasted on TV One. So that was really exciting news. And then on top of that, who was most excited were our viewers who have been watching us on YouTube since day one, and they've just seen the growth. And so they're super excited to be able to now watch it on Cleo TV.
And Caleb, this is one of the first YouTube series to actually make the transfer from YouTube to a cable network. First of all, a lot of people, for those who don't know how Tough Love started on YouTube in the first place, talk about the origin.
So back in 2015, me and Ronnie, it was my girlfriend at the time, then became my fiance and now my wife. Mm-hmm. But we saw that there was a lack of content for African Americans just out, you know, on the TV scape and even on the digital space. So what we did, we put our minds together and we thought about, you know, what stories resonate with us the most. And it was stories that focused around relationships, you know, the troubles that, you know, our generation goes through, the ups and downs. So being in the beautiful city of New York and just having, you know, amazing stories to tell, we picked up our camera. We started filming season one of Tough Love, and we dropped 6 episodes out in the year 2016, and we just kept going and kept making content ever since that point.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie, what was the idea? What was the inspiration for Tough Love? What do you try to do, or at least at the beginning, of what you were trying to dramatize?
Yeah, so we the inspiration was, as Caleb said, it was just a lot of the troubles and the ups and downs that were happening around us in millennial culture. We had a studio at the time in New York City, a studio apartment, and our friends would just come over and they would vent about the problems they were having and all the different drama that was taking place within their dating life. And so we were like, okay, let's turn this into a series. And Caleb and I were already creators, and it was so tough getting our foot in the door to be on television. It was very difficult. So we were like, let's create our own path. Let's come together. Let's pick up our camera. Let's start shooting this and putting together this story on our own. So that's what we did.
Caleb, this was happening, by the way, before YouTube, in fact, came out with an originals division that was doing some scripted shows like Liza on Demand, Cobra Kai, Step Up, the TV version of that, the popular movie series. So at that time, you were really going into uncharted territory with you two. What was it like to for both of you to put that series together, sort of being on your own in a way?
Yeah, you know, going into it independent, I'm talking about with a shoestring budget. Later on, we coined it as a DiGiorno budget because we just had money to feed our cast with DiGiorno pizza. But just, you know, going into it very independent, telling, you know, real stories through actors that were up and coming on the rise within New York City. Like, just having that independent mentality really kind of cultivated us to have hunger. So, you know, when we first started our channel, you know, we had, you know, 500 subscribers. And also seeing that, you know, YouTube started to develop their premium division and they're also their originals as well. We just kind of stay focused on what they were doing, but at the same time, at the independent level, it still inspired us, you know, to where we started hitting new benchmarks of 50,000 subscribers. You know, we got our silver plaque of 100,000 subscribers, and now today living with over 207,000 subscribers. We maintained the mentality to stay independent. We maintained we also were able to funnel money from the ad revenue and then put that into our productions and make our productions better. And if you see from our inception of season one of Tough Love, we've gained better cameras, more crew members, a better post-production process. And we just continue to funnel that to where we're at today, to now having broadcast quality content and giving it to not only digital viewers, but also television viewers.
Yeah. So Ryan, when did you decide to make the leap from what you were doing in New York to having a Los Angeles focus on the series? And then how did Cleo TV, TV One, come in to pick up the show?
Yeah, so we are, as Caleb mentioned, our husband and wife. At the time when we were deciding on a new series to create, I was pregnant. And so we're originally from Los Angeles, so we were like, okay, let's move back to Los Angeles, where our family is, where our village is. And so that was kind of like, okay, we're back. And then as we're driving through the city, we're seeing all these beautiful backdrops. We're like, okay, it's time to film something here. And then also just talking to friends here, it's a totally different dating scene than New York City. And they say it's actually tougher and there's actually less people wanting to take you on dates, more or less, oh, let's just go to our house. And it's just a totally different scene. And we were like, okay, let's do a brand new take on this scene. And then on top of that, COVID took place. And it was like, all right, we're not going to fly back to New York to create. We need to stay home. We're safer here. So let's create in close proximity.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with the team of Caleb and Ronnie Davis. They're the creator and producers of Tough Love LA. It's a series that started on YouTube. Now it is Cleo TV's first primetime drama. It's on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on that channel. And Caleb and Ronnie join us live from LA this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Alvin with you live from New York. For those just joining us, first of three episodes we are doing this Christmas week 2020. We're going to be on today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, just like we did Thanksgiving week last month. Thanks to all of you. And if you have a question or comment for Caleb and Ronnie, well, just go ahead and phone in 646-652-2906. Again, for those just joining us, chat room not working because of a glitch on Blog Talk Radio. Then we apologize for that. Hopefully we'll have that working on our next program Tuesday afternoon at this time. By the way, next Monday on the program, 90-minute edition for you. There's a network that you might not know about, but it's growing fast, called Zeus. It's the smart TV network by millennials for millennials, and now they've got two series happening on WeTV. One of them you may have already seen the promos for, called The Real Back China, and that's one of the two. We'll speak exclusively with Lemuel Plummer. He's the president, chief executive officer of Zeus. We'll find out where that service is going in 2021 and whether the WeTV deal for two of their unscripted shows is the beginning of a whole new direction for that service. Then our very good friend, the organizer of Interactive TV Today, the popular newsletter, and the annual TV Tomorrow show, Tracy Sweat, will be joining us. We'll talk about Interactive TV, how it progressed this year despite the pandemic, and where it might be going in some big directions in 2021. And also, in our final half hour, we'll have a very special feature, our annual Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers, where we pay a final tribute to the people in front of and behind the TV camera who passed away this year. When it comes to on camera, boy, did we lose a lot of fantastic talent this year from all different genres, from Alex Trebek to Robert Conrad to Kirk Douglas to Regis Philbin. Amazing lineup, and also off camera too. So be sure to be with it. And by the way, if you have any suggestion for tomorrow's televised entry that we may not have, email me during the course of the week. We'll check it out. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Certainly want to get your input to this edition of our annual retrospective. Ronnie, what's been the reaction so far to the first episodes on Cleo TV?
Oh, the reactions have been great. There was, of course, there was like an initial hesitancy where it's like, oh, this is a new cast. Because, again, it's a new city, new stories, new cast. And so people were looking for that old cast. But then after an adjustment, after a couple episodes, they're like, okay, I'm locked in now. I'm invested. So it's been a journey for them, but pretty good reviews so far. So we're excited about that.
Caleb, what are some of the issues, some of the social concerns that, this set of episodes, we have 10 of them, deal with?
Sorry, repeat that again, Simon?
Yeah, what are some of the social issues, some of the plot themes that you have with this set of 10 episodes?
Oh, yeah. So one of the ongoing themes in this season is one of our main characters, Maya. Her brother is shot and killed by the police unlawfully, and what she's doing, so she's, you know, a millennial, she doesn't really have that much cash strapped on her. She's on a quest to get some money to pay a lawyer to fight this case, to get justice for her brother. And throughout this season, her friends come together in Los Angeles and they say, hey, we want to hop on board to help you. So everybody takes part of this paid social experiment to get justice for her brother.
Yeah. Ronnie, if you filmed the episodes during the pandemic, did that become a plot line? This whole idea of how do we as people of color, deal with love when we have these lockdowns, when we have the social distancing, when we have to communicate more by the TV screen or by the computer screen using Zoom or other video chat methods as opposed to, you know, face-to-face contact?
So we actually did not tackle dating with it during the COVID era. We tried to kind of stay away from that. However, we did focus on online dating because online dating was already a huge thing, especially in Los Angeles, and that was even pre-pandemic. But since the pandemic started, of course, it's been at an all-time high. But we do focus a lot on online dating. Well, a little later in the scene, in the season, we go into catfishing. We have the characters they discuss, you know, what your profile picture is supposed to look like via online dating, an approach via online dating, like, oh, should you talk about, you know, sexual relations immediately? What type of conversations you should have? So it's a lot of online dating conversations because that's just a lot of what's going on in our millennial culture.
Yeah. Caleb, talk about some of the acting talent that you featured on Tough Love. Have any of them gotten notice and are sort of, has this series given a boost to their careers and to what they want to accomplish in television?
Okay, so I just initially want to start off with just our original Tough Love cast from Tough Love in New York. One of our cast members, Ebony Obsidian, she went on to star as a lead in the BET Sisters series. They're now in the season 2. So, you know, she was one of our rising stars on Tough Love. And now she's over on the BET team. And also DeVal Ellis, he's another one of our characters that hopped on midway with us with Tough Love. And now he's also co-starring alongside of her and Sisters. You know, we have a plethora of other talent members that even joins us this season in Los Angeles. Melissa Ford, she's a reputable name. She's been in this industry for quite some time. And what we did to her, we said, hey, you know, we know that people want to see you on the dramatic side. We want to see a range. So Melissa Ford, she had the opportunity to bless our set and really showcase her talents. And, you know, for the most part, a lot of our talent members that are with us in Tough Love Los Angeles, they went through a strenuous process of auditions. and we made sure to hand select everybody. So, you know, a lot of people that you see with us, we feel that they're going to continue going down this road of, you know, being on content with us, you know, really, you know, taking the chance and taking the opportunity to really dive into content by independent creators like ourselves. And then you will see some of these fresh faces on some big screens as well.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie, did you and Caleb write all the scripts? And if not, did you have a writing team or at least one writing colleague join you for the LA episodes?
Yes, we did. We actually, so the first three seasons of Self Love, I was the sole writer. And this time we were like, okay, we want to branch off. We want to bring in new voices. We want to give young writers a new opportunity. And so we created a virtual writing room, of course, because of COVID. And so we spent a month with these virtual writers. We have a writing team of nine people and 10, including myself. And each person took on an episode, but of course we collaborated and came up with the different storylines and ideas together. So it's been very different having a writing team, but a lot of fun because they come up with ideas and things that I would have never thought of.
Was that the same thing with direct? I think I hear a baby in the background.
Yeah, that was one of our newer team members. Actually, the newest addition. Our new boss outside of the Cleo and TV1 network.
Yes, the new members of the family, they do have a boss relationship, no matter what.
Yeah.
A lot of people in my family can certainly attest. By the way, was that the same thing with directors? Did any of you direct episodes, or again, did you have other people come in and outside do it?
This season, due to COVID, you know, we had to have a very, very limited set. So we were very selective about the people that were on set. We wanted to open up the floor to have different directors direct each episode, but I had to basically hold it down and direct the whole season. Again, you know, this is, you know, due to COVID, but, you know, in the future, we definitely want to continue to bring in, you know, fresh directors, fresh eyes, people with different perspectives to make sure we translate, you know, our vision in many different eyes. So this season we didn't go with it. I had to, you know, hold the ship down on my own, but for the most part, we definitely had a lot of fun.
You know, over the years, Ronnie and Caleb, we have had husband and wife couples, mother, daughter, father, son, brother, brother, sister, sister, guests on this program. And one thing we always ask is, how do you deal with the fact that you're on the set day after day, putting the program together, whether it's writing, filming, directing, you know, organizing traffic, if you will, so you get the scenes done when you want them to, and then, you know, keep your relationship going. How do you sort of turn things on, turn things off?
It gets tough. It's definitely, we try our best to turn it on and turn it off, but a lot of times it just gets all intertwined and we're taking work home with us. With this season, because of COVID, once again, we did everything in a short period of time. And so we were on a lot of tight deadlines and schedules. So we have been working around the clock, both on set and during post. And a lot of work at home, of course. And so it is definitely a process, but we've learned over the years how to kind of navigate it and how to work together and compromise and just not step on each other's toes. So it's been a lot of learning lessons, but I think we've definitely gotten better over the years.
Oh, yeah. And I just wanted to piggyback off of that. I remember when we sat down with you on Brick TV, you know, we expressed that, you know, working with your significant other, you literally learn every time that you guys take on a project or just take on an activity within the project. You know, it's all about communication. 90% of the actual relationship between us on set is communication. It says, you know, how are we going to talk to the actors? You know, how are we going to have the set up for the actors? How are we going to have it set up for the crew? You know, logistics, story, all the way down to post and even marketing. We're very hands-on with the whole process. So it's all about communication. It's all about scheduling. It's all about, you know, checking each other's temperature And then also kind of giving a time for like a reset and saying, hey, you know, we did all that we can do. Now it's time for the romance to come in. And, you know, I'm a firm believer of, yes, work hard, but also set some time for self-care and also time for the actual romance in the relationship.
We have Caleb and Ronnie Davis for a few more minutes this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. They're the creators of Tough Love LA, now running Sunday nights at 9:50 Pacific Time on Cleo TV, the TV One network spinoff. If you have a question or comment for them, get the call in, 646-652-2906. Caleb and Ronnie, what's your game plan for 2021?
Our game plan for 2021 is to continue releasing the episodes, continue promoting the episodes. Not only is it on Cleo TV, but it's also on our YouTube channel. And so we're continuously engaging with our audience there, continuously posting episodes and promoting there and building our audience.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we'll be going on a hiatus for the holiday season, and then we'll be back up and running on Cleo TV. Stay tuned on Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we're just going to, you know, continue to have fun, you know, just, you know, see what the audience reaction is. And, you know, if everybody tunes in, if everybody loves us, let's get ready for season two.
So it sounds like season two is going to happen. Although Cleo will either move you to a later time in prime time, also an earlier time than which is also an early time on the West Coast. Any plans to do another series in New York? Particularly given the fact that thanks to the work of Andy Castillo and the folks at the Mayor's Office of the Entertainment, we're now seeing TV production, despite the pandemic, get back to near normal or almost next normal. Any thoughts about perhaps starting a new series in New York or elsewhere in the coming year?
Yeah, absolutely. Between Tough Love and Tough Love LA, we launched a series called Pillow Talk. Pillow Talk did really well. It was filmed and performed in New York City. So season two of Pillow Talk is something that, you know, we're going to put our heads together at the top of the year as soon as this season, as soon as Tough Love LA finishes. And, you know, that basically filming Pillow Talk season two is going to be a treat for our fans. So look forward to that. And also, again, another one of our actors from Pillow Talk, Travis Cure, he went over to Tyler Perry on the BET scene with the series called Oval. So he'll be happy to join us on Pillow Talk. So, you know, we're looking forward to kind of giving our fans some more Pillow Talk and Tough Love at the same time.
Yeah, we love New York City, so we're super in love with that city. It's a great backdrop for television and film, so we'll definitely be filming more out there for sure.
And does Pillow Talk have a service attached? Will it be on Cleo? Will it be on TV One? Will it be on some other service, whether it's a mega content service like Netflix or BET Plus or whatever? What does it look like for that?
Yeah, so Pillow Talk currently it lives on our YouTube channel, over 150,000 views per episode. So, you know, viewers, if you need some more content, Pillow Talk is on our YouTube channel. But currently still shopping that around for further seasons. But at the end of the day, you know, we're content creators. We're going to continue telling stories. We're going to continue giving content to our fans. So, you know, independently, you know, if service providers are out there, again, you know, we're always looking for new homes for new shows.
Well, as we're hearing, Caleb and Ronnie, there's a lot of new services that are going to be creating communities of color. They'll be launching next year, the Grio TV from Byron Allen, the Multicultural Service from Cinedime, Black Tag, which we had in our show last Friday, which I think is going to be an amazing sort of Netflix-YouTube combination, again, for smart TV sets and devices. And it seems there's a lot of interest in having TV become more diverse in a big leap way in 2021, so we will see. In the meantime, Tough Love LA, you can now catch it on Cleo TV, the TV One spinoff channel. That's Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Cleo TV. And for more details online, here's where you go, mycleo.tv. That's mycleo.tv. Caleb and Ronnie Davis, thank you again for being with us. Have a wonderful Christmas week and a great start to 2021, and let's hope that you're full blast with this pandemic licked and hopefully licked forever.
Thank you so much, Simon. Thanks for having us. Always great talking to you.
Yes, and happy holidays. Stay safe, and until the next time we're in the studio together. Take care.
All right, you got it. Take care. All the greatest.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Caleb and Ronnie Davis and Boston the Family also joining us live from Los Angeles. Now, before we leave you, it's time for our Tawabi Televised Classic Trivia Question. Second week, we're offering the question. And if you first get the correct answer, you'll win the new Sopranos book off the back of the truck by one of our guests last week, Nick Brachia. Also, you'll get the wonderful Talaria Clutch Plus Money and Card Clip and the Crazy Stupid Love DVD. Here's the question. Listen carefully. Who first played assistant district attorneys, the first pair of assistant district attorneys on Law & Order? Who played the first pair of assistant district attorneys on Law & Order back on NBC in 1990? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and address. If you've won before, let somebody else win. Great little gift for that person over the course of the holiday season. One final time, here's the question. Who first played assistant district attorneys on the first season of Law & Order back in 1990? Again, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Enclose your name and your mailing address. If you first correct answer, you win that trio of prizes. If you don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. And we'll also, if we need to, we'll post the question again on tomorrow's episode. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. One more time, thank you to Caleb and Ronnie and Tom Jennings, all of our guests today, and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, 9 edition tomorrow, our second of three back-to-back episodes with Kelvin Boston, the Chief Executive Officer of Boston Media, the home of the brand-new service Health for All Network. We'll have unscripted TV producer Brian Volk-Weiss. His latest program, the second season of A Toy Story Near You, is playing now on Amazon. And we will also have one of the founders of Wirewax, the new interactive TV venture, which has just come up with new interactive apps a week and a half ago, playing on Chromecast and on Android TV-powered sets. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. You'll find all of our episodes throughout 2020. Remember, Simon Apple 04, remember that, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, you can find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon WBT. We'd love to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Do the Facebook, Twitter thing. We do respond within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. Not only those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at BTR's Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonberg is head of content. And the co-founders, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, 1 month trial and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow be televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Back with us in 24 from now, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, tomorrow, 90 minute edition, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, make it great. Have a great start to your Christmas week, Kwanzaa week, whatever, 2020. And remember, let's lick this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.